Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel 6, and we are focusing on verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, once again, how wonderful it is to hear your word, the word of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King. Send your Holy Spirit to work through the word, to work in our hearts and in our lives, now and forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're in week 4 of this series called The Gospel According to David, not looking at a specific gospel that David wrote. Instead, we're looking at his life. And we started off with David arriving on the scene, being anointed as king. And then we went on to that wonderful battle of David versus Goliath. And then last week, we found that David was sparing his enemy, Saul, in the cave by cutting off the corner of his robe. And now we're kind of fast-forwarding a bit to where David is king, but here David is dancing before the Ark of the Covenant as it is being brought into Jerusalem. Now, when I first started looking at this text, I couldn't help but go there to that movie back in the 80s. And if you thought it was Footloose, nope, that's not it. I wasn't even thinking about that time when Kevin Bacon was using this exact text to bring dancing back into the town that he had moved to. No, I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of that scene from a movie in the 80s in which the Ark of the Covenant is being opened by Nazis. And there's Professor Indiana Jones and Marianne tied to a stake as they are doing this. It's forever seared in my memory because I saw that back in 1981 when I was just a little boy. And it was that time when Indiana Jones told Marianne, and he said, "Marianne, don't look at it when they open it. Don't look at it. Keep your eyes closed." And so only the two of them did that. And the rest is cinematic history as they open to see what is inside the Ark of the Covenant. And the rest of them are dead in the most, you know, horrible fashion. I couldn't even show it if I wanted to here at St. John's. But it struck me that the only reason that Indiana Jones and Marianne survived that entire ordeal was because they were humble, and the rest of everyone else, they lacked humility when it came to the Ark of the Covenant. And it made me think, there's a lot of lack of humility in the world and in our lives these days. There is. All you have to do is turn on the news and you see it. Rioting, looting, people destroying things, burning things, stealing property that is not theirs. Even during this pandemic, I see a lack of humility. I see people that are simply told, "Hey, just wear a mask when you come into our building and everything will be all right," and they throw a fit. Because of it. How dare you? And I see politics run amok. Talk about a lack of humility on both sides. I mean, obviously, we're in an election year, so this is going to be full tilt here. And I just see it. I see politicians just taking every little bit of time to see if they can trash the other side's reputation. And of course, this is borne out across all media channels, and especially social media, where you get to be anonymous. You can comment on someone's post halfway around the world, and boy, has it turned nasty. Talk about a lack of humility. What's even more distressing is I am seeing this even among Christians. Now, you know, we're Christians. We know Jesus Christ. We know he is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that you know the truth. The truth will set you free. Okay, we got that. And we want to share it. We want to have others believe it. But it's coming across more and more these days, at least as I've been observing it, that we want to be right because it's the truth. In fact, we have to be right. And I'm not against seeking and sharing the truth of the Christian faith and of Jesus, but it's the way that we think and say and do things in sharing that that is really showing a lack of humility. It's like, shut one person down because you're wrong. In fact, you're probably evil and even heretical for even thinking about that. Never mind that we see in a mirror dimly right now. But for Christians, nope, that's not it. You see, we have kept our eyes open, looking into the arc of the ways of the world, and even Christians are getting swept up in this lack of humility that the world desperately needs right now. Now, there are many reasons that this is important, but there is one in particular that really stands out. Lack of humility equals a lack of blessings. You see, you can't really bless other people by helping them improve their income and their property if you are busy destroying and looting and stealing it. You can't bless others by trying to keep yourself healthy and keep others healthy when you're throwing an absolute temper tantrum because someone asked you to wear a mask. You know, you can't bless others by having an honest, respectful dialogue about differences and, all right, trying to compromise, trying to find a middle ground here. You can't bless others with that if all you're doing is trying to cancel them. All you're doing is trying to get rid of their point of view because obviously it is 100% wrong. And likewise, you and I can't receive blessings from others when we're aggressive, not peaceful. When we are arrogant, not modest, when we are proud, not humble. And over all of this going on in our world and our lives today is the Lord watching us. The Lord watching his creation, the Lord watching his creatures act like this. What do you think he thinks about all this? You think he's pleased with all this? And furthermore, do you think that it's possible to even receive the blessings of the Lord during this time of increased lack of humility? All of this plays out in our text here this morning from 2 Samuel 6. And it starts out like this. And it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the major symbol that shows God's relationship with his people, I will be your God, you will be my people, was residing in the house of Obed-Edom and was doing what it did. It was blessing people. And that's what the Ark of the Covenant had been doing from day one. Wherever it went, it blessed people. It was blessing the people of Israel with winning battles against their enemies. It blessed them with material prosperity. It gave them the favor and the grace of God in a form of a gold box. And so David was bringing home the Ark of the Covenant to his city, city of Jerusalem. But do you notice how he brings it home? And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. This was this kind of circular whirling dance, just leaping in the air with joy. And David was wearing a linen ephod. You see, David had actually taken off his courtly, royal, kingly robes and had put on this plain undergarment. And that's what he was dancing in. Why was David even thinking of doing any of these things? Truth be told, this was not the first time the Ark of the Covenant had been brought into the city. Earlier on, this is what 2 Samuel 6 says. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the Ark of God. You see, they had done everything wrong before in bringing the Ark in. So the king, King David himself, humbled himself so that he could bring the blessings of the Ark of the Covenant into the city. But his wife was having none of it. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Why would she do that? Look what she says to him. How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. David wasn't humbling himself. He was humiliating himself in front of everyone. In fact, he was not acting like a king at all. A king was supposed to, wear proper clothes and act royal. But no, he had taken off his clothes, had put on this simple garment. And in fact, the way that Michal responds to David, she is accusing him of sexually inappropriate behavior before all of the king's female servants. You're not humbling yourself, you're humiliating yourself. How dare you? And David's response, I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. You see, David knew what was going on. David would humble himself as much as he could because of the Lord's blessings that would flow to him and the people of Israel. And this didn't stop. King David and his people still had to humble themselves. They still had to sacrifice. They still had to go through the rituals of offering grain offerings and peace offerings. They still had to humble themselves so much that they had to keep the Ark of the Covenant behind a curtain, lest something bad should happen where sinners would touch the holy Ark of God. And this thing went on for centuries, long after David danced before the Ark. More sacrifices, more ritual, more humbling, until the son of David, the king of Israel, the Lord himself, emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and in that likeness became obedient even unto death, even death on a cross. You see, this king, Jesus, the descendant of David, he humbled himself by taking on our frail human flesh, and it was in that frail human flesh that he bled and he died on the cross. But look what happened. When he dies, the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, completely and totally. There's no more sacrifices. There's no more rituals. There's no more humbling of ourselves again and again and again. Now the blessings of the Lord flow freely. They just pour out of it. It's just reconciliation and forgiveness and peace and comfort and salvation. It's all just coming out freely to you and to me. You see, the King, Jesus, humbled himself to bring the blessings of the Lord to you and to me. Where there was sinfulness, there's now forgiveness. Where there was shame, there's now reconciliation. Where there was fear, there's now peace. The blessings freely flow from our Lord. The daily battles that you and I have with our sinful nature that burst forth, Jesus has won all that. And he gives you heavenly riches. Heavenly riches, an inheritance in heaven that will never, ever fade away. He has taken your filthy, sinful clothes and replaced them with a royal robe of righteousness. It's enough to make you want to dance and leap for joy and sing praises to our God. And it makes you humble. This is how St. Paul describes it. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. We don't deserve the blessings of the Lord. We don't. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his favor. We don't deserve forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, resurrection. We don't deserve any of that because of our sinfulness. But God gives it to us purely by his grace. The Lord humbles you with his blessings so that out of sheer joy and gratitude, we seek to bless others. The Lord humbles you with heavenly riches so that you are now free to bless others in keeping their earthly ones. The Lord humbles you with complete healing so that you are now free to help others with their daily struggles. The Lord gives you the truth that he is Lord over all. And this humbles you to the point where you are free to set your ultimate hope in him alone and not in the rulers of this earth. The Lord humbles you with words of comfort and peace and love and forgiveness and grace so that you are free to bless others with those same words. See, this humility, this is what the Lord brings into a world of riots and looting and pandemics and politics and social media and destroyed reputations and attacks, and yes, even people opening the lid of the Ark of the Covenant and looking inside. Because this humility brings blessings that only the Lord can give. And it gives us great joy. Because the blessings of the Lord are ours to have and to share. Amen.